It's kind of like the record company sends you, you know, the Rolling Stone article and the article from Magnet and all that sort of stuff. And it seems to me, it'll be controversial here, and I know I'm going to get an interesting answer from you, that you've got, I mean, you recorded this new album. You right. did it a while back. You've been through a lot of things.
No,
you know?
No, I haven't
been. But not anything yeah. that a lot of people...
I haven't been through much.
You've been through rock and roll.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know what that is. I don't know what rock and roll means, but...
But it seems like the PR machine, whoever that PR machine is determined to paint...
They want to make me into some sort of druggie or something. I don't know.
Well, they're trying to do something, and I think that my show is a great forum for you to kind of tell people where it's really at.
Okay, where it's really at is that I don't exist, neither do you, and I have fun playing music. That's all... That's the world's an illusion. Get unhinged, you know. Go get as fucked up as possible and crash a car into a tree, and I don't care. Or do something really great. And I just want to.
Those are both options, by the way.
I'm just sticking around to see what happens. I'm a curious observer of the world, and I do what I do because I love doing it. And if I get to pay my rent with it, then that's all the better.
The
money thing is a side effect of something that I would do normally. You know, I certainly don't do this for money. But it's a side effect, which is a practical side effect.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt, but in some ways it probably does.
Oh, it
help.
Can hurt. No, it can't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Some ways it doesn't help.
Well,
right?
It put me on vacation for 7 years, so, which is that you know what happens when you have too much fun.
Right.
Nothing gets done at all.
So let's talk about the music. I mean, and again, it's kind of like tons of reviews of the new album, and again, they're trying to paint, you know, a picture of...
It's very annoying. I mean, what's the deal? I don't know. I read a couple of them, and it was like, I had enough of this. I've read enough, you know. And, you know, it's the old thing of they need to categorize you, A. They need to characterize you, almost, B. And C. I don't know. I'm not going to get through the alphabet on that one.
Right.
But I always read articles and I'm like, what? I don't get it. I don't read music magazines, so it doesn't bother me.
So, when you listen to your own album, which I imagine you do listen to your own album, what do you hear in it? You know, I mean, you recorded it a while back, you know. When you listen to it now, what do you hear in your album?
What it is, I'm gradually just, I'm still growing as a musician. I'm still, like, and this is the closest I've got to something that I really like. That's the way I look.
That's a pretty bold statement, considering all the things you've done. So tell me a little more about that.
That's just the truth, you know. It was kind of like a magical thing. It all came together magically. Not magically, but there was something a little bit cool about it. You know, my wife sequenced it, you know, and she did it, you know, and I like the way she did it. She did it not in the obvious way. You know, it's sort of the first side's the really difficult side, and side two is the easier side.
You think so? Really? You think Repeat's kind of a difficult song?
Well, no, that's like the overture or whatever. And
right.
But then it sort of gets into some... Well, what consider, like, you know, Waking Up and Rancho Santa Fe, and it's a bit, you know, like Lovey or some disjoint, you know, like, where is this guy going? And then it cruises into, like, It Looks Like You, and for me, that's when it starts getting, not easier, but, like, starts to rock a little harder, and then there's, like, another, well, it's just a good sequence. I don't know how she did it. She thought of it all in her head. We were down in Costa Rica. She sequenced it on Halloween in 2002 in Costa Rica, and we didn't have the record. She would like listen to the. She knows the songs, and so she could listen to them. And she's like, all right. So my wife sequenced it for me. And I was gonna put, like, you know, It Looks Like You first. You know, like, you know, put the obvious ones first, but I didn't, because I knew she had a better perspective on it than I did.
Well, I think what is cool about the sequencing, aside from being unobvious, is that it does make it a different Evan Dando project,
right?
Because it's, you know, well, let's face it, Atlantic would have done some very, very different things.
Actually,
with that album.
I had all the calls on what went on my records my whole time in Atlantic. They never pushed me around.
That's great.
No, they never did. Because it was in my contract. It was back in the days when you could scratch out commercially viable.
You were early enough for that.
Yeah.
Before it got stupid.
Exactly. My lawyer had it crossed out, commercially viable. We will deliver you something on tape. But I like music that, you know, I really like the Stones and the Beatles. And, you know, I mean, I like music that did get big, you know, and that sounds a little accessible. That's just what naturally comes out of me is something half like semi-accessible and half maybe more like too many chords or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, and maybe I boldly say this as someone who's played your music all over the place.
This is my one. See, you're supposed to change the cover whenever you want. See, oh, that's my goddaughter.
There you go.
But see, that's because of the cover. That the whole idea with the cover is that you're supposed to choose, you know, so you have that as the cover too, because there's 16 panels or whatever.
No, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
My problem was, and I kid you not, I started looking at it in the car last night while I was in traffic for a few minutes, and then I was like, well, I'm going to really check out this cover because I know there's a lot more to it. And that's the dangerous thing to do, because once you start getting into it while you're driving.
That's not smart.
That's not a good thing.
That's not an advice.
And when you're me and you're popping CDs in the car constantly, right. You have 20 CDs on the seat because you're trying to listen to all this music.
Oh, yeah. Don't smoke pot either, because then whenever I smoke pot, sometimes I'm like, I want to hear Cheap Trick, and I want to hear ZZ Top. I want to hear, you know, like I want to hear all.
Oh, I don't have to smoke pot to do that.
I don't
have to.
No, but
I have that problem.
No.
Katie will tell you.
Okay, yeah, right. See, when I get stoned, I'm like, fuck, I want to hear, you know, like we were doing it the other night. Like, I want to hear, you know, ZZ Top. I want to hear Cheap Trick. I want to hear Sabbath. I want to hear Zeppelin. But I want to hear it all at once. You know, and there's not enough time to listen to all of it. So yeah, this is like, I'm really proud of this. This is what me and my wife did put together. And my mom helped a little because she was like, you gotta look at, she's an artist.
By the way, everybody at home, when you're listening to this, you have to get your album out and do this along with Evan and I.
Yeah, this is where we're going with this. It's like, see, you can pick that, for example, as one of your covers if you want. Or you can take that.
Or you can be a little more psychedelic and groovy.
See, that's the idea of this cover. Or you can do that.
You spent a lot of time thinking about this
cover. Yes, we did.
A lot of time.
Well, this is a...
No, I have a 2-year-old daughter, and I'm going to hand this to her because she'll have some fun with it.
Yeah, it's analogous to how much work I put into the record itself, see, which was a tremendous amount. There you go.
Boom. Yeah, the interesting thing about the CDs in the car... There you go.
She took the picture herself.
Did she?
It was 7 in the morning. We'd been up all night.
It's pretty. The whole CD in the car thing is a problem because there's just too much to listen to.
Yeah, and not only that, the picture on the front of this CD is inside of a car, so you're really screwed on this one.
They can really mess you up. So what do you?
See, she's in my car. See that? And it looks like it's snow, but that's just a sandwich.
So where was that
sandwich wrapper?
So where are we?
Isn't that cool? That's why we picked it, because I love that sandwich. It looks like it's winter.
Where are we?
Martha's Vineyard.
I knew we were somewhere in New England. I could tell just by kind of the background.
Actually, maybe.
Well,
maybe
the trees.
Just because it's a Cherokee.
East Coasters can kind of tell.
More like the car than anything else.
The Martha's Vineyard car.
I mean, that literally. You can't say you know where that is, because look at that. That's just a plain old coniferous tree and blue sky.
All right, so I lied. What can I say? I've now done a lie in the interview.
We're
in big trouble here.
Not a lie, because I told you where we took it.
Good point.
It's not a lie.
Hell, I cheated then.
Guess where that was taken?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin. What do I win?
Wrong,
do I win the set of steak knives or what?
No, Tallahassee, Florida.
So no steak knives for me.
Tallahassee, Florida, backstage. And Eric Bachman was playing when I got the picture. The guy from Arches of Loaf was playing. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of people on the album,
yeah.
Guy that I've become, it's funny how you discover people later than you should, and I have this theory, like, like, the more you know about music.
Well, the Fugs for me last year, I've just been listening to the first Fugs record so much. It's just
wild.
I love it so much. Yeah, the percussion, the way they use percussion and everything. And well, I've always been an Ed Saunders fan because of the book you wrote about the family and stuff.
John Bryan.
Yeah, right.
John Bryan is
massively talented.
And you know what it took for me, because I was trying to track down one of his solo albums? It took like about 12 phone calls, and I finally got it, and I've been playing it on the show. In fact, I've played
so
it next to your stuff.
He's so great.
He's amazing. He's like the ultimate pop guy.
Yeah, the ultimate pop guy, and he's got all the blood, too. You know, he's got life. You know, it's like not like it's not wimpy, you know. You've heard, did you hear the song he did for the soundtrack for of the new whatever Paul Thomas?
Oh yeah. That, oh yeah, that song, absolutely. Like,
you gotta hope there's someone for
he
you.
He is just
strange
so poppy.
As you are. You know that one?
Mm-hmm.
Who can cope with things that you do without trying too hard? I love that. You can bend the truth till it's suiting you. I love that song. All of these things that are around you, you wrap around you. I love that song.
Yeah, he. So it's how did
you
that? How did that happen?
What they will amount to. It's a great song.
How did it happen? How did you two hook up?
He was a fan of It's a Shame About Ray. Got him through some Jellyfish tour or some tour that he was bummed out. He was having a difficult time, the way he told me, as I remember it. And this record, you know, was kind of, which is the general theme of when people come up to me, they're like, man, you really helped me in like a rough time. That's the stock thing I get from fans. I guess maybe everybody, that's what musicians get. But they're like, you know, I was feeling really down and your record really pulled me through, you know. And that's probably the best compliment I can get, because I... For me, that's what I would say to Ella Fitzgerald or something. You know.
That's what I was just going to ask you. So who pulls you through?
Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday, Ornette Coleman, Eric Dolphy, McCoy Tyner, you know, Coleman Hawkins, The Velvet Underground,
playing Sweet Jane tonight, can't resist it.
No, usually. I mean,
no, I am.
What?
I'm saying,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
What goes on? What goes on is always the... I thought you were asking us, but like bands, they play Sonic Reducer by
right,
the Dead
right,
Boys.
Right.
They play, and they play What Goes On by the Velvets. And they play, you know, let's see, what are all the classics? Sorry. But do you know this song? I was wondering. Looking through these hollow eyes across the great unknown into the interstate horizons. They had no time to reload. Like a silver bullet from a gun, an arrow from above. Like an equine star, you'll hear about me everywhere you go. All through nebula, I was racing in my mind. I slipped up the light, fantastic, and I never looked behind. You slow down, my lights are changing. You slow down, green lights are changing. Yeah, you fly so high, yeah, and you move so fast. Blindly from the past, slow down, green lights are changing. I love that song, but
totally
Bevis Frond.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, changing all the time. Yeah.
You know who played that when we did?
Someone covered that. Yola
Tango,
probably.
No. I interviewed Yola Tango. I interviewed Ira Kaplan last week, and he played it in a guest set.
That song?
Yes.
Well, obviously, those guys are, yeah.
Yeah, Ira played it as one of his guest set songs. No kidding.
He's got impeccable choice. I love that.
He was a hell of a nice guy, too.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Really nice guy.
He used to do sound at Maxwell.
Mm-hmm.
He did sound for us when we opened for the Angry Samoans.